Okay, I'm going to pray for Chris and then he's going to come and speak to us. Heavenly Father, would you bless Chris Brown now? Thank you that you call him by name, that you know him, that you have already been speaking to him this week, that you have been imparting a particular word for us through him this morning. And as we have just invited you into our hearts and our spaces, we keep those hearts open now to hear your word via Chris. Bless him now as he speaks. We are listening. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Julia. And thank you, Tom, Isaac, and Will. What a beautiful time of worship that was, and time just to pause in the presence of Jesus. And good morning to all of you. Thank you for praying for me, Julia. And for those of you who've not met me, my name's Chris. I'm a curate here at Christ Church, been part of the church family for nearly 4 years now. And it's just a wonderful family to be a part of. We are continuing our series on the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, looking at chapters 20 and 21 in the Gospel of John. And last week, Paul spoke to us about that time when Jesus appeared to Thomas and the other disciples. And he reminded us that Jesus's position and activity towards us is far more important than ours towards him. Not that ours is insignificant, of course not. Just that Jesus's position and activity is just far, far more important. And I'd like us to keep that in mind as we read this passage and start to unpack it. And so I encourage you, as I read these words from John 21, to be on the lookout, listening for and looking at what Jesus is doing here. There's lots of interaction. What is Jesus up to? How is he getting his disciples' attention? Let's read. So starting at verse 1, John 21, reading through to verse 14. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is such a wonderful declaration of what it means to be followers of Jesus. what it means for God's kingdom to come in their midst. And as we begin to think about unpacking this, I was thinking about everything that's going on the last year that we've all journeyed through. And I remember just a few weeks ago, I was taking a walk from my house and I was on one of the streets nearby. And in the distance, I could see someone that I thought I recognized, but I wasn't entirely sure. They were wearing a mask, so that made it a little bit harder just to see who it was. And so I carried on walking towards them, and I crossed the road, so I was on the same side of the road as them, and still I was there, well, maybe, I'm not quite sure who it is. And then as I got close enough, and by this time, if it hadn't been that person, I would have had to have stopped and said, I'm sorry, I thought you were someone else. And of course it was who I had recognized. And we had a lovely conversation, and then each continued on our walks. And if we hadn't been in this strange reality of the pandemic, that would have felt just normal. But you know, it felt precious to be chatting with someone who I just happened to meet. And we had a lovely conversation. That just the preciousness of that was amplified by everything that had been lost, all the separation and the isolation. And we've journeyed as a nation and as a world through so much. And some of it has been just minor inconvenience, having to wear masks. Other parts of what we've journeyed through have been far more tragic and serious. People have lost loved ones. People are still sick. There's a huge mental health crisis. People have known massive isolation, loneliness. And it's something that has touched all of our lives. And as I started thinking about all of that and read these words here, you see Jesus getting his disciples' attention in the new reality that they find themselves. And I think there's things we can learn in the way that Jesus gets his disciples' attention that we can apply as we think about how the Holy Spirit is getting our attention as a church, as we've journeyed through the last year and we're now reaching into a new freedom that might be coming and that we pray is coming. So that's our context for today. Looking at the disciples' journey, looking at how Jesus reaches into their life and transforms their understanding of where they are now and how they're to be, and then thinking about how the Holy Spirit meets us. I've called my talk this morning Breakfast First. And you'll see as we go through why it is so important and why that is the heart of God's kingdom come amongst us. Let's start unpacking this text. Jesus appears to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It's no surprise that they were there back in Matthew 28. We see Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and he says to them, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, for there I will meet them. So I think it's a reasonable assumption to make that that's the reason they're in Galilee. They're hoping that Jesus will come and meet them there. There's seven disciples. Some of them are named. Simon, ever the leader amongst them, says, I'm going out to fish. I mean, what else? He's a fisherman. What else would he do? And so off he goes. The rest join him. These are seasoned fishermen. They know what they're doing. And yet they go out. They go out at night when they should be going out. That's right. And they catch nothing. Maybe there's nothing unusual about that. Maybe Jesus is already positioning things to get their attention. And then Jesus appears on the scene. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. As I was preparing and reading commentaries, it's interesting how, for some people, they really wanted to explain how it was that the disciples didn't recognize Jesus. But you know, we're not told. And I think that's important. Because actually, it doesn't matter how it was that they didn't recognize Jesus. What matters is the fact that they didn't, that Jesus was concealed from them. And perhaps that should be unsurprising. I mean, Jesus appeared to Mary. She thought he was the gardener until he said, Mary. And then she responds, Rabbi. Jesus appeared to the disciples on the Emmaus Road. He walked and talked with them, and yet they didn't know that he was Jesus until he sat with them and broke bread. And then they thought, didn't our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us? Jesus is very able to conceal who he is when he needs to. But there's always a purpose to it. There's always a purpose. So Jesus calls out to them, haven't you any fish? It's a rhetorical question. He's really saying, you haven't caught any fish, have you? He knows. And no, they say. And so then comes the instruction. Now remember, the disciples don't know that this is Jesus giving them the instruction. This is just some stranger on the shore. Why would they follow this instruction? It doesn't make any sense. They've been out at night. That's when they should fish. The fish aren't going to be around at dawn. And just throwing a net over them, well, that's not going to catch them. But for some reason, they obey this instruction from this stranger. And then there's the moment of realization. I wonder when it occurred. You know, they must have been trying to pull this net in and feeling a bit of resistance and then a lot of resistance. And then they can't actually lift it into the boat. And somewhere in the midst of that, John says, it's Jesus. He recognizes Jesus has got their attention now. For Peter, he's just right there, diving out the boat, swimming through the water. The rest come in a rather more dignified way in the boat with the fish. And now we get to the heart of it. You see, for these disciples, everything has changed. Think back to a previous miraculous catch of fish in Luke 5. At the end of reading about that miracle, there's these words. It says the disciples pulled their boats on shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. And for 3 years, that has been their life, following Jesus, walking with him, talking with him, sharing meals with him, watching him heal the sick, being sent out by him to heal the sick. It has been the most amazing, incredible, hard adventure. And with all of that behind them, they've watched Jesus die on the cross, be crucified unjustly. And now they've met him, risen. The words he said about himself, that he would rise, are true. But it's different, you see, because before they knew where Jesus was. Okay, sometimes Jesus might take himself up a mountain, but people seem to know always where he was and how to find him. Now, he just appears in their midst, and then he's gone, and then he appears again. They don't know where he is until he's there in their midst. Everything has changed. Now, I wonder, I think they must have been so full of questions. So many questions. What do things look like? What are we supposed to do now? How are we supposed to be? What's all this thing? We're supposed to build your kingdom. How are we supposed to do that? Question after question. What does Jesus do for them? Let's read. When they landed on the shore, a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. This is beautiful. Jesus has prepared a meal for them. He's hosting a meal. He's gracious to them. He says, come, bring some of those fish that you've just caught. Let's add those to the meal. And then we get these four words, which I really want to focus in on. He says to them, come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. You see, Jesus doesn't just provide food for them. He shares breakfast with them. He doesn't just provide food for them. He shares breakfast with them. Now we might look at this and think, well, that's just a lovely thing to do, and they're sharing breakfast on the beach, and what a wonderful, cozy thing to do. And I think in our culture and the way that we see meals, we miss the huge significance of what's happening here. To understand that, we've got to go back into the first century culture. The Jewish culture, table fellowship, the sharing of a meal together, was a huge cultural marker for them. It was about family. And to invite a guest to your meal table was to say, you are family, you belong, you are with us. Now Jesus started to unsettle all of that by going and sitting at the meal table of the outcasts of society, the people who were spat on and ridiculed and cast away and ignored. He went and sat with them at the meal table. And by doing that, because the meal table was such a place of significance and a place of marking out family, he was saying to those people, you matter, you're valued, you are family. And that got people up in arms about it. They couldn't cope with the fact that Jesus was changing their culture. He was opening the door to the meal table. No longer was he saying, oh, well, you choose who gets to come and sit at your table. He's saying everyone can come and have a seat at the table. There's an invitation to all to be family. And we see that as Jesus went to the cross, defeated death, the strength of that invitation to be family. Come, follow me. It's what Jesus is saying. Come, follow me and be part of my family. And so when he says, come, have breakfast with me, he's reminding the disciples that even in this new reality where Jesus comes and goes as he pleases, we are still together. He's saying to them, you are my family. To each one of those disciples, as they share a meal on the beach, they are reminded forcibly that they are brothers and sisters with Jesus. Yes, he's their Lord and Savior, but they are united as his family. There's more going on than that. Because in all those questions about, well, how, what are we going to do now? How are we going to share? How are we going to be your witnesses, Jesus? There's lots more conversation to come. But there's a declaration in that moment that breakfast came first. That the way you are going to declare that the kingdom of God has come amongst you is by being family together. Radical, loving family. Let's think back to John 13. Jesus was teaching his disciples about what was to come. Getting them ready for the fact that he was going to die. And then would rise again. He's even getting them ready for the ascension when he sends the Holy Spirit through John 14, 15 and 16. But what does Jesus say, John 13? He says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. By your love for each other, people will know that you are my disciples. And so he's saying to them, the way that you witness to me. It's not through clever words, strong arguments, but it's going, be who you are. Live out your true identity as my family in the places you get sent to. Because as you do that, people will look and say, we need to know Jesus because look how those people love each other. And there is the kingdom of God come in your midst. Now, what of us and our story? As a church family, everything changed in March last year. The ways that we had got used to being together. We gathered on Sundays. Maybe we gathered during the week in our small communities. Maybe we met people at other times. Gave them a call, sent them a text. We had ways of being family together. Now maybe we were taking some of those for granted. I don't know. But suddenly it was all stripped away and we realized afresh how precious family is. And how we as God's people are family because we wanted to be together and we couldn't be. And so we found technology and ways to be together on a screen. And they've carried us through this time. And when we've been able to, we've been out for walks with each other. We've sat in each other's gardens. The Holy Spirit has got our attention again. Showed us what matters. Shows us how to be church family in an environment where it's so hard to do it the way that we always used to. But in doing that, the Holy Spirit has shown us what matters. And now we find ourselves reaching towards yet another reality. We see little bits of it arising. We're going to start gathering here in church. It'll be different. We'll all be sat 2 meters apart and wearing masks, and there won't be any singing. It's all different, but we'll be together in a different way. And then maybe we reach towards that reality that's beyond that, where one day this building could be packed with people and we could meet in small communities in houses with 10 or 12 people in there. It still feels a little way off. Still feels a bit strange. It's not a return to where we were, because we've all been changed and shaped, and the Holy Spirit has been showing us what matters. And so as we reach into the reality that's coming, let's be looking and listening for where the Holy Spirit, like Jesus, got the attention of his disciples here and started to teach them about how they were going to be his family out there in the world, declaring his love for people. Let us be those who are listening to the Holy Spirit, looking for where the Holy Spirit is getting our attention, calling us and showing us how we're to take what we've learnt. Take the way that we have felt about being separated from each other, the pain that has been, and then rejoice in the opportunities to be together in a fresh way, in a way that declares Jesus' love for us even louder, in a way that is the people of Jesus declaring his love one to another, encouraging, strengthening, building each other up, and always with the door open for the stranger who comes in, who doesn't know Jesus. And we say, you're welcome. There's an invitation from Jesus to be part of this family. Let me tell you about him. There's the gospel in action. Now, in our culture, meals aren't quite so significant as they were back in that culture, but they're still a part of life. Those points where we connect with others. And so our challenge as a church, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, is to say, how are we to be your people? What are those contexts where we will tread with others, where we can be family and we can declare to our communities that we are together as Jesus followers, family, loving each other? And so as we come to a close now, I'd like us to reflect on Jesus' question. An invitation. It's his question about the fish. There's a sense that he knew everything that was going on. He knew for the disciples, they were trying in their own strength to fish. And he knew that it hadn't worked that night. And I think that's a great encouragement to us. Jesus knows right where we're at. He knows everything that's been going on. He knows how we've journeyed. He knows the things that have worked and the things we've found frustrating and all of that. And for some of us, this has been a time of great loneliness. We've not been able to connect with people. He knows that. He knows. And then there's his invitation. Come and have breakfast with me. That is to his disciples, but it's the same invitation to us. Come and be family with me. And so our challenge is to say, how will we respond to Jesus' invitation to us? Who will we gather with and say, come, let's come have breakfast with Jesus. Let's come and sit in his presence. Recognize who we are, his people, his family. Demonstrate his love one to another. Look for the stranger, the outcast, the one who doesn't fit. Invite them to our meal table. To say, hey, come and have breakfast with us. Come and meet Jesus. In a moment, I'll pray. And then we're going to have a time of stillness. Tom is going to play for us during that time. But it's a time to just think about that question from Jesus. Imagine Jesus standing in front of you. Who are you with? The disciples were with each other. There were 7 of them gathered doing something together. Who are the people you're with? Jesus is saying that question to all of you. Come and have breakfast with me. What does that look like for you? How do you demonstrate your love one to another? What does that look like? How will you respond? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you know each of us. You know where we're at. You know the joys and the struggles. Where there's pain, you know it already. Where there's excitement, you know it. Thank you, Jesus, that you invite us not simply to believe in you as Lord, but to be family with you. When we say to you, you are Lord, when we place our lives into your hands, you say, welcome. Welcome. Come into my family. Come and have breakfast with me. So, Father, I pray for each of us who are gathered here, as we hear your words, that we would hear them afresh. That we'd hear the strength and the depth and the magnitude of your invitation to each of us. Come and be family. That we'd hear that. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to each of us and show us those simple ways that as we go forward into this week and on into the rest of this month, and as we reach into more freedom, able to meet together in bigger groups. Holy Spirit, would you show us how to be the family of Jesus in this coming reality? In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, Tom and Isaac, Will will now accompany us as we have a time of stillness to reflect on Jesus' words. Come and have breakfast. And then Julia will lead us on into the rest of our gathering. Thank you.